Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
It is a Monday. Potential stories breaking in the NFL. Live in Los Angeles, it's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. 1 hour from now, Colin Right, Colin Wrong, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. Joy Taylor is back. Brief sabbatical from our show. Great to have you back.
Glad to be back.
You know, I was thinking about something. So, my son, his mother's Italian.
Okay.
And so when he, like his birthday, he gets to say what he wants for dinner. And my son's always like, tiramisu. And I've always contended, it's the greatest thing on the planet to eat. But when people list their favorite desserts, you just forget about it. You go ice cream and cookies and cake. Nobody ever says tiramisu. And I contend you can do it with coffee. You can do it by itself. It's the greatest thing, the greatest tasting thing ever created on the planet.
Strong.
It reminds me, I know I love analogies of Steph Curry. And that's where I want to start. Steph Curry, been almost 2 years since he's been in a playoff game, June of 2019. So he's been out of NBA fans' consciousness. And I'm not thinking about Steph. He's not in the big playoff games. And didn't see him in the bubble. It was a year before. Where's Steph been? Oh, he came back last night. He was finally back on television. I don't know. Dominated the All-Star weekend, won the three-point shooting contest, and essentially decided the basketball game between the world's best players. Giannis wasn't the MVP. 13 of his 16 shots were like dunks and layups, please. You know, 2 weeks ago, LeBron came out. He's like, yeah, Devin Booker is the most disrespected player in the game. Bruh, LeBron, I love you. Guys never won a playoff series. Come on, LeBron. Steph Curry, there's been this weird resentment around Steph Curry. You know, he grew up with money. You know, he's not a real, he's a little finessey. He's got a little shake, but he's not real physical. He doesn't dunk. And everybody loves these hyper-athletic point guards. Derrick Rose and John Wall and Russell Westbrook. They don't make anybody better and they can't shoot. How about a new rule on our show? If you're a 6'4 guard and can't shoot, go play football. I'm not interested in you. Devin Booker, he's not the most valuable guy on his own team. It's Chris Paul. Nobody would dispute he's great. But I've always thought it's really, Steph Curry's fascinating. We just forgot about him for 2 years. But when he won that unanimous MVP, the first ever, there was this weird resentment around him. Remember this couple years ago, guys were talking about their favorite players, and everybody's like, Westbrook, Westbrook, Westbrook. I'm like, can't shoot. It doesn't make anybody better. It doesn't make anybody better. Steph Curry shooting is better than anybody else in the world at anything they do in basketball. That's how good he is. Okay, think about this. Who are the three guards that are aging well? Dame, Steph Curry, and Chris Paul. Why? Two of them are great shooters. The third's a great leader and a good mid-range shooter. And there's always been this weird resentment about Steph. I mean, I think fans like him and kids love him. But the only thing he really stinks at is shoe design. Outside of that, he's the best shooter in the history of the world. He's the best ball handler I've ever seen. And he's probably the best superstar teammate. Oh, yeah, he's got three trophies. And none of those hyper-athletic guards that are on the cover of Slam magazine have any trophies. He's got three. One before KD, two after KD. And this year, with virtually no help, he's second best year ever, 30 points a game. But for some reason, when you start naming great players, I don't know what it is. He just gets left off. I mean, every time there's a list, it's Kawhi, it's Giannis, it's Embiid, it's KD, it's LeBron, all great players. And, Steph, well, he shoots. I don't know, it's crazy, but isn't that the league now? Well, he's not a great defensive player. Who is in the NBA not named Kawhi Leonard? I mean, seriously, who's a great... Harden plays no defense. Kyrie plays no defense. Luka plays no defense. Zion plays no defense. LeBron does what he's in the mood. in June. So I thought it was great that the guy that was out of our consciousness for a couple of years comes back and takes over the weekend. He's probably the weakest all-star there, probably has the smallest bench press. He doesn't really dunk, although he got one this weekend. I know he's kind of finesse. His shoes look like something a pharmacist would wear. Totally. I'm all in on all of that. But I love the fact that he dominated the weekend with the world's best basketball players. And I love LeBron James' tweet yesterday. Finally got to share the floor with Steph. Well overdue. Loved every second. Greatest shooter all time. Changed how the game is played by himself alone. Respect beyond words. Thank you. Finally, the best player who gets it now gets it. All right, this is something. And we're going to have a lot of talk this week because now we're moving into late first week of March, free agency in a couple of weeks. According to Greg Bedard, he's a real reporter, a journalist. He said on his podcast, Jimmy Garoppolo, by far and away, represents New England's plan A at quarterback. So officially, New England has a plan. Now, their plan is a quarterback on another team that's not a free agent, so this is essentially tampering. This reminds me of the Knicks' many attempts to get KD, Kyrie, and LeBron. But Greg Bedard's a legitimate reporter, and when you got Marcus Mariota, Cam Newton, who is and a fifth best quarterback in the draft, Jimmy Garoppolo feels pretty good. And I also think, you know, I mean, we know the book on Garoppolo. He was supposed to start four straight games in New England when Brady had Deflategate. He was hurt by the second game. That's kind of his history. He's also been hurt in week two twice with the Niners and once in week three. But this makes sense. The reason it makes sense, because we've now, I counted this morning, four rumors that San Francisco's not in love with Garoppolo. Four different stories have made Twitter with legitimate reporters. What's the rule on this show? Stuff gets out when somebody wants it out. So San Francisco's telling everybody, we're moving off Jimmy G. And the second thing is, New England's fairly desperate. Their plan A, according to Bedard, is a guy in another team that's not a free agent. So I think, and here's the interesting thing, and this is what I think really makes the NFL the best sport in the country. Even though you can seem hopeless, you're never really that far away. And I'll give you an example of New England. Now, we know they cannot draft wide receivers. They can't. They just can't do it. Belichick's hole in his game. Every great coach has a hole. That's his. That is his. And we also know they don't have a functional tight end since Gronk left. And we also know Cam struggled to basically throw the ball past 10 yards down the field and complete it. But you could make three moves, all completely, utterly doable, and New England would absolutely be a playoff team. Let's start with Garoppolo. If Garoppolo, behind a very good New England offensive line, stays upright for 14 to 16 games, they have a ton of cap space. You go get wide receiver Allen Robinson from Chicago, a tremendous player. And then you move up in the draft from the 15th spot. Let's say you got to get to 8. You don't have to get to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But if you can get to 7 and 8 and you draft the tight end Kyle Pitts, tomorrow I would say New England's a playoff team. And this is the essence of the NFL. New England last year, we're watching him, and it's like, God, this is – Brady's winning Super Bowls. This is kind of pathetic. They get all those guys that opted out back in. Mike Lombardi, former guy in the building with New England, said in a podcast yesterday, this is really doable. John Lynch, the Niners GM, likes Sam Darnold a lot. You can get him for a second pick. He's more athletic with better raw tools than Jimmy Garoppolo and doesn't have his injury history. Now we get a story that New England is absolutely plan A, far and away from Greg Bedard. Jimmy Garoppolo is their guy. So I buy this reporter. I buy this story. I think it makes New England, if they can go get a free agent receiver and move up slightly to get that great tight end in the draft, they're a playoff team. I mean, they're not going to win Super Bowls, but they're a playoff team. And that is not as embarrassing for Belichick. You make the playoffs. Belichick in a playoff game always has a chance to out-coach somebody and win it. You're not going to win three or four playoff games. They don't have the personnel. So this feels like a real story. I would not be shocked. Darnold now, Sam Darnold has a real market. Washington does not have a quarterback. Chicago, according to a story this morning, wants Russell Wilson. I don't know how they get him. They just don't have the quarterback, the pieces. I virtually impossible. I think it'd be a great fit. I don't know how they get him. And San Francisco now, according to Bedard, Mike Lombardi, Darnold, Garoppolo moves east, Darnold moves west, where Lynch likes him. We got real stories.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I'm a fan of going for it. Be aggressive. If you hear no, figure out a way to find yes. John McClain, big reporter in Houston, said, here's an idea with Deshaun Watson. And last week, John McClain, the leading voice in Houston, said, it's time to move him. He's not coming back. Let's figure out something that works. And his idea is trade Deshaun Watson from Houston to Arizona for Kyler Murray, who is a legend in the state of Texas. Okay, if I'm Houston, that's a great idea. If I'm Arizona, I'm going to pass. And I know most of you think I'm nuts. Four things to consider. Kyler Murray, still on that rookie contract. Cost me nothing. Number two is, he has no injury history, and he's a former baseball player. So like Russell Wilson, he's a great slider. He rarely gets hit. Number three, sorry, but he throws a much better pure ball than Deshaun Watson. And number four is, he's ascending. I don't even know what his ceiling is. He hasn't played that much football. Listen, Deshaun Watson's a stud, but he's getting kind of thrown into this Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Pat Mahomes, Tom Brady class. Folks, Deshaun Watson went 4-12 last year. Russell Wilson's never had a losing season in the NFL. We're starting to lump him into, like, he's got one playoff win. And I like Deshaun Watson. I like him a lot. But Kyler Murray, we don't even know his ceiling yet. Won twice as many games last year in a significantly tougher division. The best division in football. With some of the better defensive minds. Robert Saleh was a defensive coordinator. Now a head coach. Pete Carroll. So Deshaun Watson's last playoff game, he was outscored at one point 51-7. His last nine possessions, he got points on one of them. I like him. In fact, I really like him. He doesn't throw the ball like Mahomes. He doesn't win like Brady. He doesn't completely control a franchise like Russell Wilson. And I don't think he's just a naturally gifted thrower like Aaron Rodgers. He's great. But I don't even know what Kyler Murray is yet. All I know, and I don't even know if Kyler Murray has a legitimate NFL head coach yet. I don't know if he does. He absolutely has the fourth best coach in his own division. And he went from 5 wins to 8-8 with an average O-line, probably the fourth best coach in his division. And Arizona's not totally rebuilding, but there's a reason they went and got J.J. Watt. There's a reason they went and got a year ago DeAndre Hopkins. So I would not trade Kyler Murray for Deshaun Watson. But when I got a kid that good, and I still don't know if I'm at the ceiling, former baseball player, slides well, never gets hit, absolutely throws a better pure football than Deshaun. I've said this. Kyler throws about as good a football as the league has. Aaron Rodgers won. No one did about six guys. Stafford's in that class. They throw a beautiful ball.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Colin right, Colin wrong. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Always been a massive fan of Steph Curry. Never understood the disrespect. And yet yesterday, among the world's best basketball players, he basically won the All-Star game for LeBron's team and, oh yeah, won the three-point shooting contest. I mean, if you'd asked NBA players 3 years ago, Westbrook or Steph, they would have taken Westbrook, and I've never for the life of me understood that. He's the best shooter ever, the best ball handler ever, one of the great teammates ever, super high basketball IQ, and I loved that little Mr. Steph Curry in the world's most talented basketball game basically took it over and decides it. Not LeBron, you know, not Harden, not all the great players. No, Steph Curry decides the game.
Where Colin was wrong.
I said Tom Brady had never seen an alien on Twitter last week. I said it on the show, and Brady came out on Twitter and called me out and said, how do you know I've never seen an alien? Got to be honest. He won a Super Bowl at 43 and eats avocado ice cream. Brady probably is an alien, but I was wrong on this. I suggested Tom had never seen a UFO, and Brady called me out. Hurt, not going to lie.
Where Colin was right.
Lifestyle. Yes, lifestyle, not just winning, played a huge role in J.J. Watt signing with Arizona. At his press conference, he admitted weather was an issue. Training's an issue in Arizona. So Buffalo finished second to Arizona. Buffalo has the better head coach. Buffalo has the much better roster. Buffalo is a Super Bowl team. Arizona's not. But regardless of tax rates and other obstacles, players with options like J.J. Watt increasingly, they want to go to California. They want to go to Arizona. They want to go to warm weather. And I don't have a problem with any of it.
Where Colin was wrong.
Now, I did think J.J. Watt felt like a great fit and a semi-lock to the Packers, and he was not in the top two. This surprised me. He's from Wisconsin. He admitted a couple years ago that even playing a preseason game against the Packers was a dream come true. I do think Green Bay, if you look at the way the world's working, outside of quarterback, doesn't everybody need a good pass rusher? Isn't that like number two on everybody's want list? So I was surprised. JJ, they were not. Packers were not in his top two.
Where Colin was right.
Never been a Blake Griffin guy, and Detroit released him. No playoff wins. He played more than 25 games exactly once. Listen, he is a great athlete. I've never felt he's a fluid basketball player. I always thought in the Chris Paul, Blake Griffin finger-pointing escapades in L.A., Chris Paul was the much better basketball player, made people better, was the better leader. Now, Chris can be a pain. Chris is hard on guys. But Blake Griffin to Detroit didn't do a thing. He was rarely healthy, couldn't win a playoff game. And now he goes to Brooklyn where three guys will carry him.
Where Colin was wrong.
I never thought Seattle would even consider trading Russell Wilson. A report last week, they're officially taking calls. 9 years, 8 playoff appearances. It blows my mind. It blows my mind. Now, I still contend Russell Wilson starts for the Seahawks second week of September. And I think these guys, listen, they're both super talented, the coach and the quarterback. But the fact they are taking calls is mind-blowing. To me, I'm sorry, but Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes should never hit the market. Sorry, it shouldn't, ever.
Make it work.
Make it work. Just deal with it. Make it work. This is stupid. I don't care if you don't get along. You have to get along with everybody. Brady and Belichick didn't have dinner in 20 years. Make it work.
Where Colin was right.
The Dak deal, still not done. 30 hours until the franchise tag deadline. Listen, I have respect for all the reporters in Dallas, but I kept saying this. Listen, when Jerry Jones wants stuff done, he has a history. He gets stuff done. I've been hearing this for 2 years now. I don't think Dak getting a franchise deal tag is a bad deal for Dak at all. I mean, that means $69 million for 2 years. I went to his Twitter account yesterday. That guy's got more ads and endorsements. Dak is, if he gets franchise tag, he'll be over $100 million in earnings, endorsements in football, 4 years in the league, in a state with no state tax. So I'm happy for Dak. But I've never bought into this. Well, it's just a matter of time. We all know he's going to get a long-term contract. And my takeaway is I've never bought into it. Listen, if he wants Mahomes money, you get the pushback. Like, I get it. I mean, I'd rather sign him to a 4-year deal and manipulate the cap than pay a fortune for a franchise tag, because then the following year you're going to have to pay him like 50. But it doesn't look like he's going to get a deal.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, super talented, but a little goofy and a little silly, Joel Embiid right now is the favorite to win the MVP. And I've been trying to trade him for years. For the record, I was told Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons flew separately down to the All-Star game in Atlanta. They refused to share a private jet. They still don't get along. I don't like them on the court together. But I will say this about Joel Embiid. I will say it. They're 1-5 when he doesn't play. He's the closest thing to Shaq I've seen in terms of just skill. And they're 23-7 when he does play. And, you know, my theory was always move Embiid. He's been hurt. He's a big. They never get healthier. Keep Simmons and surround him with three-point shooters. But Ben Simmons is a total enigma. I know he's a great defender. I was talking to my buddy Ryan Russillo yesterday at breakfast, and he said in that game against Utah, remember when Philadelphia played Utah? Like the finals, the game went to overtime. Simmons didn't even take a shot. Overtime, last 6-7 minutes of the fourth. Like Embiid, for all his goofiness, delivers. He is the horse. They ride him, and they're 23-7 when he starts, and that's the best record in the East, and I'm wrong.
Where Colin was right?
Well, last week, Broussard and I, Chris Broussard, had an all-star draft. Isn't that interesting? My team was essentially the exact same team LeBron chose. Me and LeBron, a couple of basketball geniuses, crushed Broussard and Kevin Durant's team. Poor Chris Broussard did not stand a chance. LeBron, Steph Curry. I mean, LeBron barely even played. Kawhi Leonard, very, feels good. Just put Broussard just back in his place a little bit.
Where Colin was wrong.
Kevin Stefanski, head coach at Cleveland, over the weekend said it again. We're going to keep Odell Beckham Jr. I find it fascinating because that means Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry will take up 15% of Cleveland's cap. That's a lot for a team that needs a ton of help on the back end of their defense. They just keep selling me they're keeping him. I'll make a bet here for a big pan of tiramisu with anybody on the staff. They're going to play OBJ in the first 6 weeks. He doesn't have a ton of trade value now because he's off an injury. They're going to play him for about 6 or 7 weeks. Then they'll elevate his trade value and move him. Cleveland's got too many issues in the back seven. Jarvis Landry's great. Jarvis Landry's a one in this league. He's not the flashiest one, but he's a low-end one receiver. You can draft a two and a three.
Where Colin was right.
You know, I never bought into Russell Westbrook's triple-double. I always said it was a gimmick. I always said, so if he averaged 9 rebounds, not 10, would he win the MVP? Well, so far this year, he's having another great year. 20 points, 9.7 rebounds, 9.8 assists. Didn't even make the Eastern All-Star team. That thing was, he was goosing his rebound. I always said, if you want to make him the MVP, because he's carrying his team to the playoffs, I don't have a problem. But giving a guy an MVP on a triple-double when he's goosing certain stats, Carmelo Anthony later admitted, yeah, we wanted to get him 10 rebounds. So now he's like 0.2 and 0.3 away from a triple-double. He doesn't make the Eastern All-Star team. Doesn't even make the team. Always a gimmick. Super talented, but that was a gimmick MVP. All right. Rick Bucher is going to join us next. Some NBA thoughts. Carlos Dunlap has been released by the Seattle Seahawks, which makes total sense. Gives them $15 million or almost $15 million in cap space as their young pass rushers develop and are ready to play. So you're gonna see a lot. I mean, like in the recent history of the NFL, there's going to be so many good players over the next 3 weeks that get released. They're going to be like borderline Pro Bowl guys because the cap's coming down, and a lot of these teams are in a position they thought the cap was going to go up. So Carlos Dunlap, good player, good guy, excellent for Seattle, on the market. With the tax deadline approaching, it's important to take steps to avoid being a victim of tax scams, and they are out there. Cyber criminals have used social security numbers to file fake returns. Why? They want to steal your refund. File early, be aware of suspicious activities related to your return, and find out if you're eligible to apply for an IRS identity protection PIN. Cybercrime is scary. Identity theft is brutal. Every day we put our info out there on the internet, especially tax season. All your info is out there. Your social security number could be for sale on the dark web.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
With dozens of comfort innovations, once you've tried Tommy John underwear, you won't go back. Right now, 20% off. 20% off your first order. See site for details. TommyJohn.com/herd. TommyJohn.com/HERD. So there's going to be a lot of movement in the NFL. Carlos Dunlap was released by Seattle. It saved him $14 million on cap space. Their young defensive ends now and pass rushers are going to be more ready to play after a camp preseason. And Dunlap came in. They gave up nothing for him. They got him for a year for a playoff run. He delivered. Good guy, good player. Seattle moves off. It makes total sense. Smart move. He'll be out there. Cleveland said this weekend Odell Beckham is part of their future plans. I think they say that. I think they'd like to build up OBJ's market value because he's off an injury and he doesn't have much value. But this is interesting. Adam Schefter reporting that Odell Beckham to Tampa Bay and Brady is challenging, but Tom Brady wants him. Now, this is actually an interesting fit for two reasons. First of all, Brady's got a lot of power in the building, and he has a surplus of weapons. So Cleveland has a great receiver, Jarvis Landry, who's a lower-end one of the best two in the league. So if they let go of OBJ, they would need a receiver in return. Well, yeah, but that's because Tampa's loaded. I was writing this down. This makes sense. So Odell Beckham would want this, and Brady would want this. So you know the players want it. So right now, according to a report, Tampa's going to franchise tag Chris Godwin. They've got $19 million in cap space, so they got some money. Brady's going to rework his deal, maybe to get him 22, 23. So they've got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Scotty Miller, A.B., Gronk, Cameron Brate, O.J. Howard, Ronald Jones, the running back, and they have a young receiver named Tyler Johnson, who's more of a three. He's not a burner. He's got good hands. He made that great catch against Green Bay. Only had about 12, 15 catches. He's never going to be a one, probably not a two, but a good three out of Minnesota. So he's got nine weapons. I mean, just think about that. Look what New England has now. Brady's like taunting New England. He is taunting them. But this makes sense because Cleveland, if they got rid of Odell Beckham, would need receivers. You could send Scotty Miller, Tyler Johnson. I mean, you could send them two guys, number two and three guys. So that makes a little sense. Brady wants it. Odell Beckham would want it in a second. And Odell Beckham is really expensive, but not too expensive for Tom Brady in Tampa if he reworks his contract. It's fascinating. As Joy talked earlier, it's one thing to get the star, but you're seeing it now with the Brooklyn Nets. Once you get a star, it's not that you get him, it's that this generation, and this is not a shot at millennials. They've watched all of us like me struggle. Millennials, like basketball players, have played in AAU. They didn't play on crappy high school teams. They like joined all-star teams. And they're like, whoa, I don't want to struggle. I would rather join better players. So the new generation of athletes, and I know in my generation, it's we had to walk uphill both ways. Yeah, but if we didn't have to, we wouldn't have. If Dad owned a Ferrari, we would have driven uphill both ways in a Ferrari. It would have been fine. So young basketball players are like, loyalty? Just go play for a better team. Like Blake Griffin. Yeah, I'll go play for Brooklyn. Why wouldn't I? So it's very rare to get a Chris Paul who goes to these reclamation projects gladly and turns it around. He's okay doing that. But when you look at a lot of these football players out there, Odell Beckham's like, I want to win games. Of course he wants to win games. And so I think what Brady's doing in Tampa is fascinating. It shows you the power of the superstar in sports. That New England thought, you know, hey, we got a great system. But the minute New England lost Brady, Matt Stafford's like, I'll go anywhere except New England. Like, that's the power. You didn't lose just Tom Brady. You lost the power of recruiting from Tom Brady. He got Gronk out of retirement. This Odell Beckham thing, you know they've been on the phone. He got Antonio Brown. He asked him to get another running back. They got Leonard Fournette. It's the power of the star and the ability to get veteran guys, take a pay cut, come out of retirement, go get a ring. God, they are. Tampa is just filthy loaded weapons. It's incredible how many players they have. The fact they would even need Odell Beckham is they're just he's taunting Belichick.
Yeah, now. I don't know if it's a need thing. It's more of a want. It's the taunting thing makes perfect sense.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Eric Mangini won 3 Super Bowls in New England, Browns, Jets. He joins me now live. Here, I'll throw this one to you. Here's one. You live in Cleveland.
So I do.
So, I mean, just that fact alone, you wake up every morning with stuff to overcome. Okay, here's a story. Odell Beckham to Tommy in Tampa. Initial reaction, what is it?
I love it. I love it. And look, Tampa Bay is a totally different situation than everywhere else. And Tom Brady is a totally different situation than everybody else has. And guys that may struggle in other organizations or may not reach their peak in other organizations, with Tom, it's not going to be like that. You know, if you're going there, you got a chance to win the Super Bowl. And you know you're working with the greatest quarterback of all time. And you know if you do the right thing, he's going to get you the ball. So the level of motivation with every player is as high as it's going to be.
Yeah.
And I think to have another explosive playmaker like Odell, I mean, dealing with Odell and Antonio Brown and the list that goes on, that's rough. That's rough.
You're a defensive guy. I'm not sure. You just got, I mean, seriously, it's like Kansas City on steroids. It's like the Chiefs on steroids. There's just so many, you can't double anybody. You can't roll coverage over on anybody.
No, and everybody's probably going to be open. Like, take your pick. Because those guys are raw. They're just hard to deal with. They're hard to deal with.
So Greg Bedard's a legitimate reporter. He's been in, you know, the Boston area forever. When he says something, I usually believe him. He reported this morning, Jimmy Garoppolo is far and away the Patriots' plan A, which is funny because he's on another team. What do you make of that?
I don't know how it's plan A. First of all, I don't know how anybody knows what the Patriots' plans are, because the only people that really know are Bill and maybe Ernie Adams at this point. So to say one guy is plan A, he's plan A because everybody knows that he used to play for the Patriots and he could be, you know, on the street. So that makes him plan A. But you can't go into an offseason talking about another team's player as plan A unless you've got some kind of deal in place. So it makes no sense. It makes no sense to categorize it that way.
All right. So Jalen Hurts, so here's my theory. If you're going to draft a quarterback in the second round and it eventually gets your coach fired and your star quarterback traded, if you draft another quarterback, Philadelphia at number 6, so you're telling me your number 2 pick last year, you overdrafted. Because if you draft a guy, these days quarterbacks are ready to play much sooner than they were 10 years ago. So if you draft Jalen Hurts in the second round and he gets your coach fired and your star quarterback traded, and then you're going to draft another quarterback, it kind of tells me optics. If I'm a fan, I'm like, my team doesn't know what they're doing. I mean, what don't you have to get him weapons? They're not a Super Bowl team right now. Don't you have to just get him weapons, roll him out for 16 games and see what you got?
Well, I read the report today that said that they want to go all in on him. They want to help him be successful. I just don't know how you can do that at this point. You look at how he played, and there were some good things, but there's a lot more good things that Carson Wentz had done over the course of his career there, and they moved on from him. The report coming out this strong at this point in the year, to me, feels like maybe they do want a quarterback, but they want everybody to think they don't want a quarterback. Maybe this is one of those things where they tell everybody, yeah, we're great where we are. We're not interested in any quarterbacks, so that when they're sitting there at 6, people aren't going to jump over them and try to get their guy. It's hard to imagine saying we're going all in on a guy that they have such little exposure to. And the new head coach doesn't know it all.
Yeah. The you know, we were saying this morning with Sam Darnold, he appears to have a market. Washington, we're in March, they don't have a quarterback, and they don't have a good draft pick to get one. Chicago has Nick Foles, but Matt Nagy wants to move the pocket around. They liked actually Trubisky's ability to be an athlete. They just didn't love him as his throwing skills. And then, you know, New England's got their situation. And I look at Sam Darnold and I think San Francisco reportedly, John Lynch liked him when he came out. Is there a best fit for him?
Yeah, I like him where he is. I like if you feel like you're going to get legitimate draft value for the guy, and that he's worth a two, or he's worth whatever your market is, and you're not just trying to move him. Why wouldn't you keep him? You've changed the head coach, so you're going to get a different environment. You've got a ton of draft capital. What do they have? 2 ones, 2 threes, 2 fives. You've got a ton of cash. You're in a division that has all young quarterbacks. It's not like Buffalo has that division locked down. Why wouldn't you see whether or not this can work? Take that second pick in the draft, trade back, get even more capital, and build a young, talented team that can compete for the long term in a division that really is wide open.
Yeah. I'm going to throw this theory at you.
Okay.
Seattle lets go of Carlos Dunlap, clears up almost $15 million of cap space. They send out a letter to their season ticket holders about the upcoming season. They put all their star players in it, except Russell Wilson. Okay.
Okay.
They're clearing cap space because if they move Russell, they have so much dead money, they're still viable. They're not going to sign Chris Carson, the running back. Carlos Dunlap's gone. It's my crazy theory. They won't put him in a newsletter to fans. Pete Carroll moved Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas the minute they went public. That's not Pete's thing. You go public, you're gone. Is that Seattle is getting ready to move him and clear as much cap space as they can so they're not getting crushed this year with a cap. Think I'm nuts?
I think you're nuts. They were middle of the pack in cap space. They had like $11 million in cap space the last time I looked. So cutting him or they're not going to cut him, but trading him is going to cost $39 million in dead money. So that's the highest. That would be the highest dead cap charge in the history of the NFL, on top of Carson Wentz's 31 that they just, you know, that they just saw. So you're going to have to move a lot of players around in order to move on from Russell Wilson. It doesn't make financial sense, especially in this environment where you don't really know exactly what the cap is. It's going to be a down year from a cap perspective. And is it what he's doing that bad? It's a starting quarterback that can bring you to the Super Bowl. At some point, you just got to get over it. Like, if he's a little bit unhappy, okay. You know what's going to make you really unhappy? Losing a ton of games with a quarterback that can't play. That'll make you really unhappy.
Okay, so I'm not a quarterback guru, although...
Are you? You play one on TV?
Smart Alec. Okay, yeah. So I'm hearing a lot of this now. I think there's a difference between a prodigy and a prospect. And Andrew Luck was the first quarterback I ever said on the air. Can't miss. That's going to be great. And by the way, he won 11 games with an awful roster. The second quarterback I'm going to say that about is Trevor Lawrence. Listen, as long as their offensive line is not the Jets, he's going to win a bunch of games. Now I'm hearing, oh my God, this Zach Wilson guy. Oh, he may be better than Trevor Lawrence. And my takeaway is, when we anoint somebody great as a freshman, all we do for the next 3 years is nitpick him and look for the new flashy guy. If you look at Trevor Lawrence, doesn't he look different than everybody else in the quarterback field?
What I love about Trevor Lawrence is TD to interception ratio. And you and I have talked about this a lot. It says that this player makes good decisions, and he consistently makes good decisions. And the numbers have been good every year that he's played. And that's been one of my concerns with Sam Darnold is it shows at a pattern of decision making that's solid, and that's hard to teach. As much as you try to teach that, it's not a skill that is easy by any stretch and comes with a lot of experience. And now you push a guy like that in the NFL, where he's going to be exposed to volumes and volumes of coverages and variations, and you like his chances to continue to make good decisions. That's one of the things that I love about the guy.
By the way, you were a defensive guy and a special teams guy and a secondary guy. If you had to draft a quarterback, who would you lean on? Or would you say, hey, listen, I face him. I'm a defensive guy. Like with quarterbacks, when you're running a team like you were Belichick when you were with him or Parcells, and you make these big decisions, do you lean on people for certain positions? Like if you're not a quarterback guy, you coach defense, who would you lean on?
Well, you try to, you're going to talk to the offensive staff. You're going to talk to the offensive coordinator. And then you look at your scouting staff. And every year, good organizations should go through and look at their scouts and see what their hit rate is. And typically, you have guys on your in your scouting staff that are better at some positions than others. So, you know, one guy may be really good at O-line and is terrible at defensive tackles or defensive line. So you disregard, or you don't disregard, but you kind of put his D-line reports to the side and you put more merit in the place where he has strength. You look, there's tons of studies. There's tons of psych evaluations. There's so much information that you try to get certainty from, but then you have Tom Brady. You know, then you have Aaron Rodgers going where he goes, or take your pick, Russell Wilson. As much certainty as you try to get, you just don't know. There's still an element of sheer luck to this, which seems ridiculous, right? It seems ridiculous for the amount of time, money, effort, and experience that goes into evaluating these guys, but they're kids. They're kids.
Yeah. I saw Dak Prescott. I remember seeing Dak Prescott, and I said he's a way better version of Tim Tebow. Like, he feels like an NFL athlete. He throws better than Tebow, but I'm like, I wonder if I could use him at tight end. I really like Dak Prescott. I watched him at Mississippi State. And then I look back at it after he had success, and I'm like, well, God, he was under duress. They had bad offensive lines. He was getting crushed at Mississippi State. And then I go look back in hindsight, and I'm like, yeah, I should have seen. He was basically carrying an entire program on his back, which is essentially a real strength of character and judgment. And what has he done in the NFL? He's got this intangibles, character, and judgment. And I just saw him as he didn't throw a very pretty ball, but what I should have seen is, God, he was right, getting crushed. He was getting crushed. He had no offensive line help, and he was carrying a program, getting dinged and hit. So I just saw the wrong stuff, right?
Well, it's the same when watching Russell Wilson. I remember writing down, I don't know where this guy's going to fit on the team, but I want him on my team. And because his size was a real concern, and you – it was hard to project him being a starting quarterback, but he did so many things really well and popped in so many different ways. And you heard about what a good person he was and the intangibles. And you're thinking, how do I get this guy on my team, even if it's not going to work out at quarterback?
Yeah. Eric Mangini, beautiful Ohio. It's a great day in Ohio.
It is sunny today. It feels like fall here, which is an upgrade from winter. It's a nice fall day today here, Colin.
In March, great.